Hey everybody, this is Braces Aunt Zebby. I just want to come on here and let y'all know to make sure y'all is washing your hands, okay? The news anchor guys say to wash the hands, so I just want to give y'all a little trick. You know, they say you should sing about 20 seconds, you know, sing a song twice. So what I likes to do when I'm washing my hands, you know, my nephew Bryce got a song called Freak. So when I'm washing my hands, I sing the song Freak. Sing it with me. You a freak. I don't hear y'all washing your hands. You a freak. I'm a freak. Let's get freaky all week. You a freak. I'm a freak. It don't have to be neat. All right, then you say it again, and then you should be good. Make sure you getting under your nail beds, because a lot of y'all got dirty nails. I'll be seeing it. Well, all right, y'all. This is Braces on Zebby, and you are now listening to the Purple Pants Podcast.
Yes, sir. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I am so happy to be back with you guys. I hope everyone is staying sane. I know it's a lot going on, but don't worry. Your baby boy got you covered. It's been a not-so-busy week for me this weekend. Baby boy had to lay low, okay? I had to quarantine and chill because I ain't trying to get no corona. Okay, and although it's a laughing matter, you know, hear me, I likes to play a lot, but it is something that we need to take serious. And you know, baby boy had to lay it low, and I was quarantining and chilling. I'm not sure what y'all was doing, but I hope everyone was well, because it's a lot going on. It's a lot of spooky things. We in some uncharted territory, and we need to stay safe. I need my Purple Pants posse to be safe, but nevertheless, I got to come through. You know, jobs is canceling. They canceling schools. People got to work from home. But one thing is for certain, two things is for sure. The Purple Pants Podcast ain't stopping. So I got y'all covered through y'all quarantine. So this week, we got a lot on the menu because I figured let me make it jam-packed for y'all, okay? Y'all got a lot of free time on y'all hands. So you know your baby boy is going to get you through it. So this week, we got the church announcements. And on the menu this week, we've got Survivor News, we've got Love After Lockup, we've got 90 Day Fiance Before the 90 Days, we've got Social Distancing, we've got the Purple Pants Premonitions, we've got the Purple Pants Picks, we got Advice with Bryce, and I figure with everything going on, I just call Barb, and we got a Barb's Message this week, and we got the Freak of the Week, okay? Now, before we get started, you know I like to wet the whistle. So let me wet the whistle real quick. Oh, y'all want to know what I'm wetting the whistle with this week? I'm wetting the whistle with an emergency, okay? That's my cocktail of the week. I'm trying to keep my immune system up healthy. You know, I took my multivitamin today. So baby boy ain't taking no chances. So we got to be safe. Now, hold on. Let me wet the whistle again. All right, so let's jump right in to the church announcements this week. So I just wanted to announce that, you know, Wendell and I, we've been doing these watch parties for Winners at War. You know, I'm so excited to root my friend on, but we are going to have to discontinue our watch parties until it is safe again. As much as I love to come out and cheer and scream and act a mess with y'all, we have to play it safe. So we are going to be postponing our watch parties until further notice. We think that the safety of others comes more important than our love for Survivor and to being together with all you guys. So our watch parties are going to be postponed until further notice. We want everyone to be safe. Second on the church announcements, I just had to tell y'all a little anecdote, okay? So, y'all going crazy with this toilet paper and napkins, and y'all is going to the store buying them up. Whew, okay, let me just say this. I understand, you know, we in some uncharted territories and y'all want to go and get 10, 20 rolls of toilet papers. But I think it's important for us to remember that we have elderly people out there. We've got some disabled people out there that cannot run to the grocery store and to the corner stores as fast as we can. And if we are out there buying up all the toilet paper, you know, think about your grandma. Think about your older uncles. Think about, you know, your Aunt Debbie's. And so, you know, I didn't have to go buy toilet paper because I'm mostly at work more than I am at home. But, you know, with my job sending everyone home and, you know, us having to work from home, my part-time job, I'm not on the schedule for a week and a half due to the coronavirus. So I am home. I'm pretty much stocked up. So the other day when I was getting home, I wouldn't call her elderly, but there is a lady across the street. I won't say her name because, you know, try to keep a little privacy. But, you know, I had seen her walking back from the store. You know me, when I see my neighbors, hey, how you doing? Just, you know, I was getting out of my car and I was talking to her and she was saying how she came from the grocery store around the corner from her house. And she was like, you know, they didn't have any toilet paper and she didn't have any toilet paper. So I said, wait, hold on a minute. I ran in my house and I don't have that many toilet papers, but I gave her 5 toilet papers just because I feel like we're a community. That's just me. If I don't have something and somebody else, if I have something and someone else doesn't have it, I am just the type of person that, listen, here, I want everyone to be able to provide. So I was able to just help my neighbor out across the street and she was more than excited. Now, here's the little shady part. She went in to give me a hug, but I had to put my elbow up and say, come on, we elbow bump, but we got to be safe out here. But I just wanted to tell that story to just say that we got to look out for each other. I know it's a scary time and we want to make sure that we and everyone else has it. But just remember, there are people out there that live alone, that don't have the access to things that we have. And so if this maybe can inspire you guys to just, you know, to just do something nice for someone else, that if you see somebody or you know somebody in your neighborhood, you got an uncle, maybe check on them. Maybe you can drop something off to them. Just be a blessing to them because, you know, at one point in time, we all going to get old. We're all going to be not to be able to be at our physical fitness that we are today. And so when things like this happens, like if it's scary for us, imagine how scary it has to be for them. So just think other than yourselves during this time, if you possibly can, because I'm so sure that it will come back to us. And last on my, you know, church announcements, I wanted to say that, you know, I live a very busy life. I have multiple jobs. I have a pretty active social life. I've got a lot of friends. And, you know, I'm always ripping and running. And I'm always, you know, crunching time to make sure I have time for this podcast and just doing all of the things that, you know, life is. Life is a busy life. We live in a very busy society. However, with this quarantine and chill going on, I just want to encourage my Purple Pants Posse and everyone to slow it down. You know, we got this extra amount of time. How many times have I told y'all, like, whew, if I could just get a day off, if I could just get a second to breathe. Now, I always try to think of the silver linings, you know, with people, you know, self-quarantining and us, you know, being in the house more often. Just breathe a sigh of relief. You know, just take a second. You know, we always are ripping and running and just, you know, do something that you wanted to do in the house. Spring clean, get that house together. You might have got a book for Christmas. Read that book. But I just want to encourage everyone that in this like kind of sort of time of chaos to just breathe. We're going to get through it and take some time, spend with your family, you know, be with each other, be present in this time now that we're going to be stuck with each other for a while. So I just want to encourage everybody to just slow it on down. Okay. Well, all right. Now let's get this menu popping. And we are back with this week's Survivor News with our resident reporter, Jack Atkins, reporting from the University of Chicago. How are you, Jack?
Yeah, what's going on, Bryce? I'm doing well, but I got a call the other day from the Survivor News station, bro. They said I had to start working from home. So, yeah. You know, it's a little staycation right now.
We had to send you home. So give us the report. Like, what's going on before we get into the Survivor News? Like, what's going on at the University of Chicago?
I mean, so basically we have finals week right now, but a lot of my finals have either been canceled or they're optional they're all going to be online, and I have a couple papers as well. But then next week I have spring break, planning to head down to Tempe and then go home to visit my mom's in CT if all the flights go well. But then the entire rest of our school year is going online.
Wow.
So I'm planning to come back to Chicago and just kick it with my friends and do the online classes, but it's pretty crazy stuff right now. Everything's kind of closing down around me.
So what does that mean for like kids that don't have anywhere to go? Like, if it's just online, can they stay on campus, or is the campus closing?
Yeah, so they're providing, like, dorm housing for kids who need it, like kids who are international and stuff, but a lot of kids are just going home for the rest of the year. So, especially for the seniors, I'm friends with a lot of seniors. I live with some seniors. I feel bad because their whole senior spring, you know, it's gone to the wayside because of all this. But
definitely,
but you know, there's definitely worse situations to be in right now. So you kind of got to count your blessings a little bit.
For sure, and it's definitely important to be practicing social distance, baby boy. Even though I know you was out drinking, but you know, I think that it's something that we should take serious enough that, like, you know, giving your space and, like, kind of limiting your interactions. But I just wanted to make sure that you were good. So
definitely
jump right into this week's Survivor News. What you got?
I mean, shit, let's kick it off right up top. I want to give a shout out to Yule, and I want to give a shout out to the Penner family, man.
For sure.
You know, Penner and his wife are just an absolute class act, and so is Yule. And I just really respect Yule for what he's doing, and I respect the show, honestly, for giving that segment to bring a little awareness to ALS, because it's definitely a difficult disease to deal with, and you know, it's definitely a devastating thing.
Completely agree, and definitely was, like, definitely heart-wrenching, and just to see everything that they're going through. And obviously our prayers here from the Purple Pants Posse to the Penner family and anyone else that is dealing with ALS.
Of course. And so diving right in, Bryce, right after that segment, we get right into a tribe swap. And I think maybe it's just best to kind of break it down a little bit tribe by tribe and just get some thoughts. So first off, we got DeCall, which is Jeremy, Denise, Sandra, Tony, and Kim. A lot of legends on that tribe. I feel like maybe the most legendary tribe, maybe the tribe with the people with the biggest reputations. Bryce, what are you thinking about that new DeCall tribe?
I mean, definitely. I just think it's interesting Tony's, like, thought on that about the lions and the hyenas, and how he considers himself a lion and Sandra a lion. But correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy has played the same amount of times that Tony has played.
It's true. I mean, so Tony, I would say his reputation just comes mostly just from the craziness of his first win, whereas Jeremy's is, Tony's such a wild card and so, like, such a big personality that kind of makes him larger than life. But definitely, I think Jeremy, you could consider him something of a lion. Granted, his gameplay is a little more, not straightforward, but, like, he's, like, a very logical, reasonable player, and I think people kind of take that into account when they're thinking about, you know, who are these big threats out here? Because if you know how someone kind of likes to play, I think that lessens how much of a threat they are. But with Tony, I mean, it's like he's so crazy, yet still so good.
But yeah, but we know he plays crazy. So, like, then we know how he plays. I don't know. I just feel like, again, when I was telling you about, like, my conversations with Jervis last week, how Jervis was saying the same thing, that he doesn't really, like, put Jeremy, like, Jeremy's a great player, but he doesn't put Jeremy up there as a huge threat. In my opinion, I think Jeremy is a huge threat. Like, he's calm, he's collective, he's well thought out, he's strategic in challenges, he's great people player. Like, so I don't know. I just, in my opinion, I feel like...
Oh, I agree. I think Jeremy's a huge threat to win this game, and I thought that going into the season. And it's a fair point to bring up, because, you know, Jeremy definitely had one of the maybe most dominant wins in the history of the show. You know, he in second chances, he sweeps the entire jury, wins 10-0-0 over two very respectable players in Spencer and Tasha, both from your season. But I think Tony's... And I think Tony's win was almost so just unique that maybe that paints, like, a different kind of target on his back. Because even if you think about, you know, Jeremy, you can almost compare his win a little bit to, like, a Kim, in that they both really had a stable grip on the game and kind of just ran the table. But I feel like there's almost a lot of winners that were kind of like that. Not to say that Jeremy and Kim aren't threats. I think they totally are. But I think, you know, Sandra having won twice, and then Tony just for being one of the biggest personalities in the history of the game kind of puts them on a different level. But I totally agree that if I'm out there, I'm looking at Jeremy as a really big threat, probably more than a lot of other players.
Definitely. And then we see Kim this week in the middle seat, which I think is a great seat for her, whether or not she chooses to go with Jeremy and Sandra or with Tony and Sandra or Jeremy and Denise. However, if I'm Kim, I probably might take my chances rolling with Sandra and Tony, only because if I were Kim, I would try to play an Adam Klein type of game in this situation. Yeah. Oh, I hope you covered your mouth.
I did. So okay. I hope you don't catch nothing.
Listen.
No, I agree. Kim is definitely in a very interesting position right now, and it's a good position for nothing better than being the swing vote on a new Schwab tribe.
For sure, because if you roll with Tony and Sandra, they are huger targets than you, and then mm-hmm. you'll have a better opportunity to get them out. If you roll with Denise and Jeremy, you're more than likely to be at the bottom quickly. So I feel like if she plays an Adam Klein type of game and be honest with Jeremy and say, like, this is the way I'm voting, but be honest with her, I think it could pay off and for her, like, later on. But what other tribes we got?
Well, just quickly on DeKal, I've been seeing that, you know, it's possible that there could be a Suri-type situation where Tony goes home because Jeremy has, you know, safety without power where he can leave with tribal before the votes. And then Denise, Sandra, and Kim all have some type of idol, whether it's limited or a full-power idol. So I'm just hoping we don't see Tony get screwed by all that.
Yeah, definitely not. I definitely do not want to see the lion that is Tony to go home.
I know. But moving on to Sele, our boy Wendell, and he's got his boys Nick and Yule, and then the ladies, Parvati and Michelle. I know Wendell and Michelle have kicked it a little bit, maybe at the karate dojo. I don't know. But, you know, can you give us a little more scoop on that, Bryce?
What's the scoop you want, Jack?
I mean, so we see Michelle and Wendell kind of giving the confessionals a bit different of a twist. You know, Michelle's saying they dated for a while, and it was, you know, she was given pretty awkward. It was kind of a whole awkward mess, to be honest with you. Wendell was just saying they had kicked it, although I think he admitted, like, online that they had dated a bit, so maybe he was just downplaying a little bit. But, you know, what's your take on the whole dynamic right now? And honestly, if you were out there with an ex, would you be, like, more willing to work with them? Or would you be, like, totally against working with
them?
So
I guess I could see where Wendell is concerned that, like, you know, obviously in this season of Winners at War, where relationships come to haunt you, like, you know, if you are seen connected to them, then that's a reason to take you out. Mm-hmm. So I definitely would see why he's erring with caution. However, one thing that pissed me off about him, I think Poverty said it, was that he's acting very comfortable. Like, stop acting so comfortable. Like, you know, get in where you fit in, and, you know, you are very comfortable with Nick and Yule Wendell, but don't forget that there's still Michelle and there's still Poverty, and there's a chance of another tribe swap. So you need to try to, like, make them feel like you're working with them and not like you're the king of this tribe. And I feel like I was, like, very disappointed to see Wendell in that aspect. Like, what is you doing, baby boy? Like, stop. Like, so that frustrated me a little bit. I know you have the numbers and that's great, but we don't know what the tribe swappers are going to be like. So I feel like you need to be getting in and fitting in with people as much as possible, keeping your distance with Michelle, but still keeping it cool. I don't feel like he's playing it cool.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, I think it's good of him to downplay it, because if you come into this new tribe swap with Michelle and you're suddenly, like, all buddy-buddy and, like, oh, yeah, we dated, like, we're so excited to see each other, I think playing it up as, like, awkward could be good. But I also agree, you know, if he got lucky in that he got swapped to a new tribe with his two, you know, seemingly closest allies in Nick and Yule. But to me, that could also pose a huge problem, because if you just ride it out with those two, right, say they win all the challenges or even just lose one of the girls, you go to the merge, the other girl that's left is going to be like, these three are ride or dies. Like, they're so tight. That could paint a huge target on you as soon as you get to the merge, because you have such a strong little group.
Absolutely. So I'm definitely, like, worried for his position in another tribe swap. Like, I don't know whether or not the Survivor guys will be on his favor to, like, switch. And we are getting close to the merge, so it's
I don't know if there will be another tribe swap, because we know the next episode is a double elimination, and then that's going to bring us down to 12. But, you know, I agree. If Yule, Nick, and Wendell get to the merge, and they've, you know, they haven't really built a good connection with Parvati and Michelle, or whichever of those two are left, you know, that could immediately paint a target on their back as maybe the tightest trio in the game.
Right. And, you know, I definitely love me some Poverty, but she needs to keep it cute on the little jab she's taking at my brother. I don't play that, Poverty. Yeah. So keep it cute, but definitely. And then,
but, I mean, Wendell definitely got blessed with this spot.
No, for sure.
Hopefully,
absolutely,
we just see him, you know, play it. Not that he was playing it horribly, but, you know, just play it the best he can. And then come into the merge potentially just looking really strong with his boys.
Then another thing that I also have to think that I think is funny, you know, season 39, when Rob and Sandra are out there, Rob built this amazing shelter. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, when Wendell came back to this camp and that where Rob was at, the shelter was horrible. So I'm, like, confused. Like, what, Rob, what is you doing? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I think Rob got real tired from being out on 39. But, yeah, so moving on to the next And so let me ask you this. If Sele goes to tribal, who do you think goes home?
I don't know. I would assume it's going to either be Poverty or Michelle. I'm hoping that maybe Wendell will maybe work with Pav and that work with Michelle, and then maybe they'll get Poverty out is what I'm thinking is the most logical thing to do. However, I don't know. Like, hopefully they don't lose and so that we don't even have to consider that.
I wouldn't want to really lose any of these five, to be honest with you.
Right. So. But you just never know how the challenge will go. And so it just kind of just, it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Especially with the double elimination next week.
Right.
It's going to be two tribes going. So, but then we're moving on to Yara, who lost the challenge, but they have Boston Rob, Ben, Adam, Sarah, and Sophie. What were your thoughts on this tribe right at the start?
I was nervous because I'm thinking like, oh shoot, another one of my Kageon people, Sarah, and obviously on this island, I felt like obviously Rob is the biggest threat. However, Sarah is another huge threat. I love me some Sarah. I love, you know, from Kageon, from her winning her season. Sarah is definitely one that does not give up and is definitely a fighter. And so I was nervous that they were going to put a target on her back, which they obviously did. Mm. But I'm just like, in my opinion, I'm like, I don't understand, like, it should be Denise, but I guess they're not worrying about those like players like Denise because they are going to let them slide. But again, I feel like in a season like this, it's everybody has a reason to go. And
wait, Denise, just to clarify, Denise isn't on the show. Are you talking about Sophie?
Oh, Sophie. Oh, my bad.
Pull Tyson.
Pull the Tyson. So, okay, then I take it back because I forgot. So, right. And so, and here's the thing. After Sophie found that idol, I'm like, Sophie gonna win. Sophie is the winner of Winners at War. She, in my opinion, is playing one of the best games out here. And I just love it because she's an older school seasoned winner. However, she is definitely diving in to this era of season. However, still being very low key and very logical. She's like the female Yule.
Exactly. And I think that lets her slide a little more under the radar because, you know, it's almost like her social and physical skills aren't like massively evident, but her social game has been really good, I think. But just because she's like a little on like the quirkier side, people might not expect that to be the case. And then obviously her strategic game is really, really solid right now. She's like kind of a combination of Yule right now, being very numerical and strategic, and then also combining a little bit Jeremy's strategy with the shields and like having those like nerd shields in front of her and stuff.
Definitely. So we see them lose, and then we see them go back to camp, and it was just like, you know,
this
a reminiscent
system on steroids,
right? But right, and it's just like it reminded me of Garrett from my season after they lost, and like he was like, no, well, nobody's going to talk. But what's interesting to me is that like no one wanted to stand up to Boston Rob, because if that was me, I'd be like, hey, yo, Ben, come holler at your girl, like. But they just all respected it. And I guess they just figured if I were Sarah or Sophie, I would be shaking in my underwear because I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I can't go off of a wink. I would have had to pull somebody to the side and really been scrambling. But it just goes to show you that sometimes in Survivor, being patient and, like, trusting your gut instincts really can go far. But I definitely think they made the right move by getting Robert out.
So this has me kind of confused on a few different levels, Bryce, because to me, it's like we didn't really see the moment where Sophie and Sarah were convinced, and maybe that's intentional so that it's like kind of a blind side to the viewers. But for me, I was at home saying like, Sarah, you got to use this vote steal right now.
Right.
How do you not use the vote steal? Because I know she's used it right before, but I think she may be one of the only people in Survivor history to properly use the vote steal because, for one, it's so situational, and two, it's just generally hard to know exactly where all the votes are going to lie that you're going to use it properly. And, like, this is a clear instance, to me, where you use it, you guarantee yourself and your allies, Sophie, safety, and then you don't really have to worry about it. So, I mean, ultimately, good move by her, because I guess there was some interaction where they were like confirmed that they were going to vote out Boston Rob, but I was a little bit shocked. And then I've also heard theories that like while Boston Rob was doing the confessional about the buddy system, that's when the four of them came to the agreement that Boston Rob should go.
Right. And that probably was it. And I'm sure I can understand why production would not want to show that, because then it would just make it such
unfair.
An easier way to get out. So I definitely was happy. I've been screaming this whole season, much as I respect and love me some Boston Rob, but he's got to go. And I don't understand why we are, you know, so hell bent on who he, what his, you know, name brings to it. But no, let's get him out. And so now it's like, yes, but now it's just worrying some to me, because with Boston Rob being out, I feel like other huge names are going to follow suit. Like, you know what I mean? It worries me that.
Yeah, I could see some moves being made right before the merge, no doubt. What do you think Yara does if they go to another tribal? Because now that there's only four of them.
So, I mean, I would be nervous. And obviously, I feel like if they do go, the smart thing to do would be with Sarah and Sophie, mm-hmm. that one of them just say, like, hey, concede and say to the boys, like, da-da-da-da, and then... a unanimous vote out, and then Sarah uses steal a card, or Sophie uses her idol, and then they get Adam out. In my opinion, I feel like Adam is the next person that needs to go out, because I'm team Sarah, and I don't want Sarah to go.
I kind of disagree. I mean, I think Sarah and Sophie are in a really great position here. I would be pretty shocked if one of them goes next week, but I feel like they're going to target Ben, in all honesty.
See, I don't know. I feel like Ben is more of the easier flip-flopper, and Ben and Adam have had his issues, and you know Ben, how Ben feels about Adam flip-flopping, so I feel like he would be a more easier person to get to go, but
I will say, I mean, to me, from what we saw in the episode, it seems like Sophie and Adam are kind of forming a bit of a bond. And so if I'm Sophie and Sarah, I kind of think about, like, who am I going to be able to work with in the long run? And to me, it just seems like they're going to be more comfortable in the fact that they could build a solid relationship with Adam than with, like, Ben. Like, if I'm Sophie, there's no way I'm like, yeah, Ben's gonna has the potential to be like one of my top allies in this.
See, I don't know. I actually think about it differently with Ben. I know that he's kooky and crazy, but in my opinion, I trust that more than I trust the Adam Klein. And maybe that's why I was voted out third. I don't know. But there's definitely
arguments for both.
Definitely would be more inclined with a Ben, because I guess us as viewers have seen how Adam is playing, and he's playing sneaky deaky, and I don't got time. Not when it's quarantine and chill. Like,
granted,
nope.
I mean, so granted, I don't think Sophie and Sarah have really seen that, but maybe Ben and Adam start, you know, throwing each other under the bus, and Ben was maybe able to argue that. So
right. So that's, I don't know. That's obviously, you're saying you will go with Adam. Obviously, I'm saying that I will go with a Ben. But I think it goes to show you that Sarah and Sophie just getting on this tribe together, how united they are, because obviously we feel like it will be the boys coming to them and not the boys trying to pitch one of them against each other.
Exactly.
And even if they do, they have an idol and a steal a vote. So I feel like they're just in a great situation. And I just feel like this season is definitely, you know, churning up. You know, I think with Boston Rob going home, I think the oven went... I think the oven got preheated. I don't know. I think the oven is at 350.
Yeah, it's beeping now. It's beeping. I got to put my pizza in. I like that wrap up of the tribes. And then just one thing I kind of want to cover a little bit before we wrap this all up. So we see this challenge in this episode. It's another kind of like obstacle course type thing with a puzzle at the end. You know, that puzzle with the four different colored blocks. We actually did that in South Africa. But just the general challenge structure this season seems to be a lot of, you know, agility, obstacle course with a puzzle at the end. What are your thoughts on that, you know, that general challenge structure?
I mean, I like it because I feel like definitely when you're still on tribes, I feel like it just levels the playing field. Some tribes might have more physically fit people that can get through the agility without an issue. And then other people may, you know, have some physically challenged people that can't get through the obstacle course as easy. So I just feel like it levels the playing field. But I am curious to see what type of challenges, once we make the merge, we'll see. And a lot of the time that statistically, the challenges after we make the merge generally weigh heavy on, like, female winning.
Yeah, like endurance stuff.
Right, endurance stuff that a lot of the times that the females tend to win, like, individually for themselves. So I'm curious to see, like, what the gist will be. And I'm just so curious to see, like, when everyone comes together, like, what the dynamic will be where the votes will go. I'm just curious to know. I am worried that from what I see...
And we're going to have someone coming back from the edge as well, which is going to play a big part. I got to be honest with the challenges. I'm a little, they get a little bit boring to me just because I understand the structure, but it's just kind of like the same old thing.
Well, whereas, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's season 40, so they want to, like, you know, they love to revisit old challenges that have people, like, you know, so I don't know. I think that could play into it, but I definitely get what you're saying. Like, where is the one where they're, like, in the water and they be fighting, and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
that was the first challenge of the season. That was my favorite challenge.
But no. I'm talking about when they are, like, on a platform.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what totally agree. I like the physical challenge. I'm not totally caught up on an Australian Survivor, but I feel like their challenges are...
Oh, and Australia, they did my joint where you hold something in your hand, And you know what I'm talking about? Like, where if it's like, say it's a plate, and then say they have like a cup stacked on a plate. And that is my favorite one.
I mean, I just think their challenges are a different level than American challenges.
Well, for sure. And I've been keeping up with Australia. And I don't know, like, not to take away from Survivor America, but Survivor Australia All-Stars, baby. I don't know what it is about the editing. I don't know what it is about the challenges.
I'm going to quarantine and chill and watch that after I'm done with my...
Listen, I will send you the link, baby boy. It is... I definitely feel Australia a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Whole lot. But definitely. So, yeah, I'm with you with the challenges. But, I still think overall season top notch. I'm still so excited. And I'm excited every week I get to talk with you, no matter if we fight behind scenes, cussing you out. But it's all love. Well, I guess this is going to wrap. You got any last words?
I mean, just something totally kind of on the opposite vein. You know, we saw that the next season's filming is getting delayed because of this pandemic.
Definitely.
Do you have any thoughts on that, man? Because I know that if I was getting cast, that would definitely suck to have that all delayed.
Definitely. I always say play it safe. And to all of the people that, you know, that's the name of the game. When I was casted for Survivor, I was given four different dates. So the date changes. That's just the name of the game. You got to go with it. But I am kudos to production for playing it safe and wanting to keep everyone safe during this epidemic. Exciting. But yeah, I did hear that tea that, you know, production was halted on season 41. I don't know because I got tea, but I don't want to give too much tea because I don't know if it's public or not. So that it is exciting. Well, this will wrap up this week's Survivor News with our resident reporter, Jack Atkins from the University of Chicago. Make sure you stay safe, and we will be back next week to report what the tea is.
Two boots next week. Let's see what happens.
Oh,
but thank you, Bryce. Thanks again for having me. So excited for this season to start ramping up. The oven's all the way on. And let's get it.
Let's go. All right. Now, we are on to life after lockup. Now, ooh, baby, we only got one more episode left before the season finale. And this episode did not disappoint. So this episode picks up with our girl, Angela and Tony. So, you know, Angela and Tony been going through a rough time. You know, she is in the process of getting married to Tony after, you know, she forgave Tony for cheating on her with these prostitutes in a motel. Now, they was in a motel, but they were not quarantining and chilling. They was being nasty and nasty. So, Angela has forgiven Tony. She's put him through a series of tests. And, you know, they are moving forward with their marriage or, you know, moving forward with getting married. So, they meet with the wedding planner this episode because, you know, they want a wedding on the beach. Now, I don't know if it's more of a harbor, not really a beach, but, you know, it is what it is. Angela reveals to us that she is paying for everything for the wedding because, you know, Tony don't have it. Well, what is he doing at the hotel if you don't have it, Angela? I feel like Tony should be able to be paying you something. And so as they are like setting up the stage and, you know, they're meeting with their wedding planner, the wedding planner is like, your bridal party will be here. You know, Tony's groomsmen will be here. And Angela's like, Tony don't have no groomsmen. And Tony said, but I got a best man. My best man's going to be Andre. Angela's like, who's Andre? I never heard of Andre. Okay, this furthermore, you getting married to somebody you don't even know who his best man is. Okay, but listen, I'm just still trying to get a text back. All right, it's quarantine and chill. I ain't even get nobody to text me back. But anyway, Tony reveals that, you know, he was in jail with this guy named Andre. He was super close with him. And being as though that Tony is far away from his family, he wants someone to be there. Angela instantly is upset about that. So they go through this fight. And then Angela comes to the conclusion. She's like, fine, he can be your best man. And Tony's like, well, he's throwing me a bachelor party. And you know Angie flips out, but she's like, okay, fine. You can have your bachelor party. So fast forward to the bachelor party. It is Tony and Andre. However, you know Angie's best friend, Tom, who was in love with Angie, who I really think Angie should be with, but she ain't really into Tom. She invites Tom. Now, first of all, how she invite Tom to his bachelor party? But she sends Tom to the bachelorette party. Not the bachelorette party. Okay, the bachelor party. She sends Tom. It's all awkward. It's just the three of them in this little janky little strip club. Actually, it's not that janky. It looks kind of nice. So they're in there. Tom's just like, you know, everybody gets a confessional. He's like, you know, I really think Angie put me here, you know, to see what's going on with Tony at this party, and I'm going to do my part. So Tony tells Andre about Tom, and Tom is, you know, a little intimidated by Andre. Andre's like, you know, so you're not here for him? What you in love with Angela? And Tom's like, well, you know, and Tony is like, yeah, he proposed to her. And so Andre is like, so what you trying to stop the wedding? And Tom is like, well, if I could, I would. And then Bebe, Andre, he kind of sort of threatened Tony. He's like, well, listen, you get crushed if you try to stop this wedding. You'll get crushed before or after the wedding. Okay, so then all of a sudden, Andre arranges for Tony to get a private lap dance. So Tony goes into this like weird little booth to get a lap dance. And here comes Tom with his phone taking photos. Okay, snitches get stitches. You better be careful, Tom, around Andre. So he takes a video of Tony getting a lap dance and he sends it to Angie. And y'all know Angie, in less than 2.3 seconds, Angie pull up to that strip club, okay? She marches in there and she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get their stuff and let's go. I can't believe you're here with these little dirty strippers. Well, girl, so I feel like Angela, it's a bachelor party. So Bebe, Tony get his stuff and he marches on out the strip club. And they're set to get married tomorrow. So we'll see. Angie seems pretty upset. So, we on to my girl, Lacey, Shane, and John. Now, mind you, you know Lacey is a friend of the show. Hi, Lacey. But Lacey pissing me off, okay? Lacey, I love you, but you wrong. So, we know Lacey is with Shane. You know, Shane told her that right before they got married, he cheated on her. He was drunk, but he loves her and he wanted to forgive her. Since then, Lacey has not been on him at all. And she's really been going to her ex, John, who Shane hates. She's seen John at work. Then this episode picks up where they're like practically on a date going out to eat somewhere. And Shane is at work. And so Lacey and John are really talking. And John wants Shane out of the house. And Lacey is sort of like obliging to it. She's like, you know, you're right. You know, I don't trust them. And though she goes to text her dad and John takes the phone like, who you texting? And Lacey's like, I'm texting my dad. Stop. And then John just really gets upset because he's like, I feel like you playing me, like you playing both of us. Like, you know, he got to get out that house. I'm not doing this with you. So then the next scene we see is that Lacey gets dropped off. Now, mind you, when we first seen him, it was light out. Now, John is dropping her off at the house and it's dark. And basically, Lacey says that she has not been intimate with John yet because she wants to break up with Shane before she wants to be intimate with John. So she goes into the house. And mind you, John is outside the house. We pull up to the house. She goes in the house. Shane is laying down on the couch, not the couch, the bed, playing, you know, some sort of game system. And, you know, Lacey's like, you just got home from work? And Shane's like, yeah, I just got home from work. It's a busy day. And so Lacey goes from 0 to 100. All of a sudden, Lacey's like, well, you need to get your stuff and you need to get out. And Shane is like, well, where is this coming from? Because yesterday I put the trampoline together for the kids and your dad. We good. I woke up this morning. I went to work. And now all of a sudden, you is just going crazy. And she's like, you're just a liar. You're a fraud. You're a liar. Get out. And Shane is like, I mean, you really want to do this? You really want to do this? Get out. And Shane's like, that's real messed up. She's like, you're a liar. You're a liar. And then all of a sudden we see Lacey on her phone texting. And then she kind of like runs out the house. And Shane's like, where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you running? Why are you running? We need to talk. So obviously we know Lacey going out to John. So as Shane is going outside to basically chasing Lacey, like, what's going on? Whoo, here come John, like Big Daddy's home. Oh, well, wait a minute. Who Big Daddy? And then, of course, you know, episode over, so we gotta wait till next week to see what happens. But whoo, Lacey, you wrong for that, okay? You need to work it out with Shane, Lacey, okay? Playing with my Shaney boo like that. So then we got Clint and Tracy. Now, whoo, now they are a whole hot mess and a half. So we know Clint, Tracy, they got arrested. you know, they found meth on Tracy, so she got locked up. Clint only had weed. He got let go. He went back home. He paid $5,000 bond for her to get out. They were out for a couple of days. They were together. One day he woke up and Tracy took off. She took the car and the dog and was gone. Clint was distraught. You know, he went to his mom's house. His mom basically gave him an ultimatum like, we're done with you and Tracy. If you are going to be with Tracy, we are not supporting you anymore. So Clint was like, I'm done with her. He stayed at his mom's house and then he got a phone call. Tracy said she was back home. Clint asked his mom for a ride. His mom said, you're going to have to get yourself an Uber because, listen, his mom was quarantining and chilling in the house and she wasn't doing none of that. So Clint goes over there to the house. He can't get in. Tracy does not let him in at first. Then she lets him in. And Tracy got clothes in her hand. I don't know what she girl was doing. So Clint is like, what are you doing? And Tracy's like, you know, all you look at me is as a drug user. You know, you don't look at me like your wife. And Clint's like, what are you? You need to get help. You need to get help. And, you know, Tracy essentially is like, I don't want to get help. And so Clint's like, that's it. It's over. And then all of a sudden, now, mind you, I told y'all, you know, Tracy has her own issues. And I don't know what Clint's issues are, because in my opinion, you know, listen, I can look at somebody and read somebody. Clint got his own. I don't know what Clint's drug of choice is, but he is definitely like, I don't know. So when Tracy basically says, go find a new wife, I'm done with you, Clint starts pounding his face like, like, what in the office? Like, oh my God, somebody do something. Just started pounding his face. And he grabs his phone. He's like, that's it. That's it. That's it. And then Tracy's like, yeah, go call your mom. Go call your mom. Now, mind you, I'm thinking he about to call the police to have her getting out. I don't know who he's calling. Next thing you know, Clint is his mom. He's like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do it. I can't do it. And she's like, don't argue with her. Don't argue with her. Just leave. Just leave. And he's like, okay, I'm going to come there. I'm coming there. And so Clint's like, I'm going to take the dog, Tracy. You took the dog without me knowing. So then Tracy's like, go ahead, take the dog. So I guess Tracy is now packing some things up. And as she's packing her things up, she's like, where's the photo of the ultrasound? And Clint's like, I don't know. I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it in your stuff. I didn't throw it in the trash. I didn't throw it in the trash. And then she's like, you probably did. You probably threw my stuff in the trash. And he's like, I didn't throw it in the trash. I didn't throw it in the trash. Like, you actually threw it in the trash. Now, ooh. Now, I'm like, what? Then all of a sudden, we get a confessional of Tracy. And Tracy's like, you know, that they were pregnant at one point in time and she got a miscarriage and she felt like that was probably one of the worst mistakes of her life. You know, at the time, she didn't feel like they could financially support it. And that the fact that Clint would say that she actually threw it in the trash really upset her. And so the next thing you know, we see Tracy and Clint, and, you know, Tracy's crying and Clint's like, I just really want the best for you. I just really. And then all of a sudden they laying on a bed and Clint's like, I just really want the best for you. Chill out, Clint. Clint needs rehab. Clint needs rehab from Tracy. So that's where we left off. Now, mind you, we know his mom is expecting him to come home. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But listen, now let me get into the juicy juice of the episode. Megan, Michael, and Sarah. So y'all know, Sarah is the baby mom, who's actually his wife, who lives in Albany or Rochester, New York. Michael came in to see the kids. You know, he brought his new girlfriend, Maria. Maria, Maria. That's my name, Bryce. Don't be saying it all out like that, okay? Get to what happened today. Get to what happened, Bryce. Okay, sorry, Maria. So, we know that, you know, last what happened was Mike went over to Sarah's house to see the girls. He spent the night. Him and Sarah had intercourse. He told the kids he was going to come back next tomorrow for an ice cream date. Tomorrow came and went. The kids was looking for him. He didn't come. So, Sarah said, I'm going to pull up to the hotel. Sarah pulls up to the hotel. And coincidentally, as she is just pulling up to the hotel, Michael and Maria are going out for a cigarette. So Sarah approaches them and says, Michael, can I talk to you about the kids? And Maria goes crazy. You can text him. You can text him. Don't be so. Mind you, they're like sort of about to get to an altercation. Michael is yelling at Maria like, sit down. Get back. Stop. Chill. 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 So then, in the midst of all of that, the hotel manager, now I don't know if I'm making this up, because y'all know when I be watching, I literally be sitting on the edge of my bed like, ooh, ooh, ooh. So I was screaming, so I can't really tell what happened. But I think the manager was like, y'all need to calm the F down because y'all disturbing my guests. So when the manager said that to Mike, Mike went crazy like, hey, don't you talk to them like that. Well, first of all, y'all is being loud. And if I was the manager, I would have just called the police. Hello, hot 911. This is Motel 6 where we leave the light on. I have some life after lockup people in my lobby. I need for y'all to come. That would have been me. So Mike and the manager start getting into it. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm calling the cops. Now here goes Sarah. Sarah like, Mike, they calling the cops. Get in my car. Let's go. Get in my girl. What, Sarah, what in the world? What you mean get in my car and go? Girl, he don't want to go with you. So it's this big whole commotion. Sarah is like, get in my car. And Maria is like, he don't want to go with you. So all of a sudden, WeTV gets a van. A van pulls up and Michael and Maria get in the van. And then the van drives off and Sarah is just standing there. Now, at this point, I do kind of feel bad for Sarah, but I feel like, Sarah, you are just in love with Michael. Like, you keep trying to make this about the kids. Yes, it is about the kids, but it's more about your relationship with Michael. Just own up to that, okay? So she's standing there like, he chose her over the kids. Now I've got to go back and tell the kids that he not coming and they've been looking at the cars every day. Girl, the kids, the 10-9-8-7-6, because I don't want to be mean to Sarah, but I feel like you already know what it is, Sarah. Like, you know what it is. Like, you know what it is. So then, camera pan back to Michael and Maria in the car. Maria's like, baby, can I just talk to you? Just calm down, calm down. Just breathe, breathe, breathe. And then we see Michael, and he's kind of sort of got, like, tears in his eyes. And he's just like, you know, all of this because she wanted to come up here, you know, and I really just feel like she wanted to see what you look like. And that's it. Then we just see them driving off. And next week is the season finale, and it's a lot of like hinters in the season finale that I don't even want to get into. We just gonna have to wait and to see next week, because ooh, I'm trying to tell y'all, life after lockup is popping. Y'all better watch Friday on WeTV so we can get caught up. That's your quarantine and chill homework, Purple Pants Posse. So moving right along, we on to 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. So y'all, but Purple Pants Posse, I have to, you know, when I'm wrong, I admit y'all was right. 90 Day Fiancé is good. Now this actually isn't the show 90 Day Fiancé. This is like another show, just like Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. So, you know, TLC is on it. So this is basically, you know, 90 Day Fiancé is a show that follows couples who have an existing relationship online but haven't met in person. And we follow the journey to them experiencing meeting their people and, you know, falling in love. And then, you know, they've got 90 days before they get married. So this show is about these couples, but before the 90 days. And so they are a couple of couples on this show that I just wanted to touch on. So one of the people, his name is Ed. Okay. He's in a relationship with a 28-year-old girl named Rosemary, and she is from the Philippines. Now, mind you, this is kind of like special to me because when I was on Survivor, we filmed in the Philippines. So I spent a lot of time in the Philippines. So it's just so interesting. But anyway, Mike is a 54-year-old man and he met his, you know, 23-year-old girlfriend, Rose Marie, on Facebook. They've been talking for 3 months and, you know, Ed is ready to fly to the Philippines to essentially propose to her. Now, a little bit about Ed. He is 4'11". Okay, a little short. That's fine. You know, love comes in all different sizes. But Ed ain't got no neck. When y'all, listen, I'm not making this up. When y'all watch the show, or if you watch the show, you know what I'm talking about. Ed ain't got no neck, okay? He just got a chin, and then it go right into his shoulder blades. So he tells us as he's, like, flying to Manila to meet Rose that, like, you know, he's a little nervous because, you know, Rose is, like, 5'2". So he told Rose she's the same size as him. And a little bit about Rose. She is 23. She's got a 4-year-old. She lives in the back of the store with her son, and they live with her sister and their kids. She lives in a 1-room apartment. Don't have no bathroom. Don't have no kitchen. Just a room. And, you know, she pulls out blankets to sleep at night. And so she is really looking for Ed to whisk her off her feet. She has her son calling Ed Daddy Ed because she is even said in her confessionals that basically she wants a better life for her son. So, Rose is 23. Ed is 54. Ed gets to Manila. He's like a little nervous because he ain't never seen her. And, you know, before we get to see Ed and Rose meet, Rose, like, you know, talks to her sister. And her sister is like, you know, she's excited because they just look at Ed like he's rich. And they're like, you know, I want my sister to have a better life. Mind you, we meet Rose's dad, who is also 54 years old. He looks like he drives a tut-tut. And so, like, in the Philippines, a tut-tut is basically like a motorized bike that has like a compartment on it. So you can, like, it's like a taxi, but like a bike taxi. And listen, in Manila, the Philippines, that is so congested. So sometimes cars can't even get by. So the tut-tuts can get you in and out. And there are plenty of days when I was in Survivor, you know, when I was on my Survivor trip, that I was in a tut-tut. Okay. So, yes. And another thing that I know about the Philippine culture, or like the Filipino women, is that they are very aggressive. Just from my own experience, I remember that I went out to, like, it was like me, Garrett, Jatia, and Cliff. We had went out one night, and like Garrett ordered like a round of like shots for the table, and me and Alexis went to the bathroom. And so when me and Alexis went to the bathroom, when we opened the door, like a waiter bumped into the door and like dropped a drink. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this like one of the Filipino ladies came out and was like, you buy. Me and Alexis was like, girl, what? And so they really were trying to get us like to give them money because the waiter bumped into the door. But we like made our way back to the table and was like, listen, we got all of this food and drinks here. Like, we ain't not spending no money. However, if I were by myself, I would have been scared. Like, oh, let me give them all this money. But that's all I can say. They're very aggressive. That's just from my opinion. So, Ed gets to the airport. He's a little nervous because Rose is a little late. Now, mind you, Rose looks like a 12-year-old girl. That's what she looked like. So, Ed is like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. You know, they check into a hotel. And Rose has never been, allegedly, she's never been to a hotel or never been to Manila, never been to the big city. However, when they're on a cab ride to the hotel, you know, Ed is trying to get more information out of her. He's like, so do you like the way I look? How do you think I look? You know, do you like the way I look? And, you know, she's like, yes, Ed, you look very nice. And Ed's like, so tell me about your past. Like, you know, have you ever been to a party? And, you know, Rose is like, yeah, I've been to a hotel before, you know, for New Year's Eve. I partied with my friend. And Ed's like, well, who's your friend? And she's like, well, it was a couple of guys. And he's like, where were you guys at? She's like, a hotel. And he's like, were you guys drinking? Yes, there was alcohol. Now, mind you, you put two and two together. A couple of guys and just you at a hotel, Rose. Chill. Sound like my type of New Year's Eve party. Quarantine and chill. But anyway, so Ed has suspicions because he has not been able to get, like, Rose's background. Like, he don't know nothing about her. And, like, he don't know whether or not if this is, like, a scam. Well, here's something, Ed. If it smell like a scam, it look like a scam, and you in a hotel with a bunch of guys and you drinking and you the only female. So anyway, just really awkward. Their interactions are awkward. Like, while they're checking into the hotel, like, the camera crew and TLC is very much like WeTV. Everybody gets a confessional. They ask her, like, how do you feel about Ed? And she's just like, he talk a lot. I wish he didn't talk because my English is not that good. So here we are, like, this cultural language. And another thing, whenever I go travel, you know, I'm, you know, a well-versed traveling queen. Whenever I go to a different country, I always try to learn phrases. I always try to pick up on the lingo because I don't ever want to be that American that just thinks, like, wherever I go, I need to speak American or English. And that's very much Ed. And which is surprising to me, like, you're in love with this Filipino woman, Ed, and you've don't know anything about the culture. You haven't even tried to learn Cap Cun Can, okay? Because I know that means thank you very much. Cap Cun Can. Cap Cun Can is like thank you very much, and that's what the man says. And Cap Cun Can is like what the female says. I know that. So here it is. Rose is like uncomfortable about her English, and Ed don't make it no more easier. He just continues to ask these questions that she can't really answer. So it's just awkward. So they go through the hotel, and Ed's like, make sure there's two beds. I don't want to put any pressure on Rose. I don't want to consummate the relationship yet, but, you know, I, you know. So He wants two beds. They end up having a king size bed, but it's like one of those beds that, like, you know, you can push the mattresses apart. So they like go to sleep, and it's just awkward because, like, everything that he does, he announces. He's like, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth and then we can go to sleep. Boy. So, but Ed does tell us that he does not want to have sex with Rose until she feels comfortable, and he wants an STD test from her. Okay, I'm all for that. Makes sense. So, they wake up the next day. They go into town because Ed, like, Rose didn't have pajamas, so Ed had to, like, buy her. Like, Ed gave her one of his T-shirts. And so he was like, you know, I just felt really bad. I felt bad. So he's like, I really want to go buy her some clothes and so whatever. So they get to the market, and it's the Philippines. It's, like, crowded and hot. And so Ed is taken back by how much of crowded it is. Now, mind you, me, I love it. I'm a people piece. I'm a people watcher. I would be just looking at all the people. And so Ed is, like, so uncomfortable. Mind you, he's got a whole TV crew with him. He's 4'11 with this, like, you know, 5'2 Filipino girl. And people are looking at him because they already know what's up. And, like, you know, that's the culture. Like, a lot of men come to the Philippines for women. And they come for children, too, because don't listen, you think that sex trafficking thing is not real? Go to the Philippines. When we were in the Philippines, we seen so many uncomfortable things. Anyway, so they get to the shop, and Ed wants to buy her a shirt, and they're like, it's 20 pounds. And so Ed pulls out his wallet, and baby, Rose just go in the wallet and say, she like, give me your wallet. And the aggressive side, she ain't shy then. She goes in his wallet, takes the money out, gives it to the person, and tells the guy to keep the change. And Ed's like, it just makes me really uncomfortable. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. And so the whole time that they're shopping, would have been for like 5 minutes, they go to like three different stores, and she's taking the money out of his wallet. So then after like the third store, Ed is like drenched because he's, you know, a little height and weight challenge, and he's like, I just don't feel comfortable. I really want to go back to the hotel. And Rose is like, we just got here. Like, this is what the Philippines is. And so he's like, I just want to go back. So they go back, and in Ed's confession, he's just like, I really want to know whether or not Rose really likes me for me, or whether or not Rose is, you know, in it for the money and a scam. And then he reveals to us that Rose's sister contacted him last week before he came asking for money, because the store that Rose's sister runs, she says it's not making money and it's about to close, and if he could be a financial help to her. Ed, if you don't get out now, I can't even. Listen, I'm trying to tell y'all. So there's another couple I want to talk about, and baby, y'all will not believe it. So it's a young lady named Lisa, and she got the nerve to be from Pennsylvania. She's from York, Pennsylvania, which is maybe about 1 to 2 hours away from Philadelphia. And she is in love with this Nigerian man named Usman. But he goes by Soulja Boy, and he is an entertainer and I wouldn't say a rapper, but, you know, he writes songs. He's an entertainer. So Lisa has been dating Usman online. She's 53 years old, and she's a hospice worker. And Soulja Boy is a 30-year-old Nigerian man who's an entertainer and a musician. They met through social media, and, you know, that's how they met. And so, you know, she is on her way to Nigeria to get married because she wants to bring Soulja Boy back to the States with her because she wants some young chocolate tenderoni. Okay, Lisa trying to get her groove back. Okay, now Lisa is, you know, she in her 50s. You know, she a little heavy set. Looks like she could be friends with Angie. Okay, she smoked them cigarettes. So let's talk about Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy lives in a village in Nigeria. He lives with two roommates. They live in a one-bedroom house with no running water. Just one bedroom. They all share the bedroom. He's got, and they get a bucket of water, and that's how they wash. And so, but you know, what I love about Soulja Boy is that, like, I love his personality. He seems fun, and he basically tells his friends that, like, you know, although Lisa is not, you know, the girls that he's normally attracted to, he's willing to make it work. Now, mind you, he tells the producers, because the producers ask him, because mind you, TLC's producers, they shady. The TLT producers asked him, like, are you attracted to Lisa? Like, how do you know you can make it work? And so Soulja Boy is like, you know, she's not what I am used to, but I am fully committed. And mind you, oh, this is the whole thing. He calls her baby love. So he's like, you know, she's not what I'm used to, but she has the lady parts. So I'll be able to work with it. She got the lady parts. 1098. So I can't get nobody to text me back during this quarantine to chill. But Usman is willing to make it work with Lisa because she just got the lady parts. I mean, but Lisa is extremely jealous. So, you know, Usman is an entertainer. He's got social media. He's got Instagram. He posts videos, new songs. And so if any female writes on his page, like, oh, my God, I love this song, I love you, Soulja Boy, Lisa will slide in them DMs, talk about don't be messaging my man. Because Lisa don't play about Soulja Boy. So Lisa takes the 18-hour trip to Nigeria. She arrives in Nigeria, and Yusuf and his two roommates pick them up. And Lisa is like, what is going on here? Like, why is his roommates here? And so they're in the backseat of the car. Now, mind you, when they see Lisa, ooh, let me drink. Hold on, let me with the whistle, y'all. When they see Lisa, you just have to watch what how they look. They just like, ooh. So Lisa and or Baby Love and Soulja Boy are in the backseat of the car, and they are kissing. And the roommates are like, why do they have to kiss so much? Normal person kisses 3 times. They kiss 20. So they get to the hotel where Lisa is staying at, and they get her to the room. And, you know, the roommates is like, okay, Soulja Boy, you coming with us? And Soulja Boy's like, I'm going to stay with Lisa. And they like, are you sure? They are like concerned for Soulja Boy. So Soulja Boy and Lisa, they go into the room, and mind you, they're like, you know, talking, and basically they in the room for like 3 minutes, and Lisa is like, okay, to the cameras, y'all gotta go. So the next morning they wake up, and you know, they're like, so did you have a good time with Lisa? And Soulja Boy is like, yes, if what I like is 100%, Lisa was definitely 70%, and I can work with 70%. Another thing that I think is like a little like tasteless on Lisa's part is they say that they had sex, and basically Lisa reveals that they had sex without a condom. Girl, what in the hell are you doing? Okay, without a condom, child. Okay, if you think the coronavirus is easy contractable, it's a lot of other STDs that you could get, girl. So they had sex. You know, they meet up with Yusuf's room. I don't even know why they have to continue to meet up with Yusuf's roommate. They meet up with Soulja Boy's roommate for breakfast, and Lisa is not happy with the culture, the type of breakfast that they're having. And the roommates are like, well, if you're going to marry Soulja Boy, like, you should get used to the customs of what we are eating. And so they start talking about this marriage because, you know, Lisa wants to marry Soulja Boy while they're here. And one of the roommates is like, well, I'm going to just be honest with you, Lisa. I don't know if Soulja Boy's mom is going to like you because you're white. And, you know, in our society, they don't really like their sons to be with white women. And Lisa's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that people still think like this. Yes, girl, people still think like that, okay? And so she says to Soulja Boy, well, we're getting married with or without your mother's blessing. And so the roommates get a confessional, and they're saying, like, in Nigeria, our culture are, like, people respect their parents a lot, and if the parents say no to something, then it's not going to happen. And so, you know, Soulja Boy, she's like, we're going to get married if your mom doesn't like it, right? And Soulja Boy is like, well, we have to cross that bridge when we get there. And Lisa's like, what? So she gets up from the table and starts walking away. She start, her blood pressure start getting up, okay? You know, her blood pressure start getting up, and they're like, are you okay? She's just like, you know, I thought I was going to marry him, and now it's a possibility I might not be married. I just don't know. Ciao. I'm trying to tell y'all, 90 Day Fiancé, I was sleeping on it. I apologize, Purple Pants Posse. Because the 90 days before the 90 days is even more popping. And so there are about 4 other couples that I would love to talk about. But I am just trying to wet y'all whistle to this. So make sure y'all get into the 90 days before the 90 Day Fiancé. Because it's delicious. All right. Next on the menu, I have social distancing. So I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to be honest about like my personal take on it and, you know, how things have developed with this coronavirus and everything going on. Because last week I was aware of it and, you know, I still was going out. I'm like, I'm going out to the bar. I'm doing what I've got to do. But the more research that I have done and the more I see when I look at Italy and I see everything that's going on with Italy, I definitely think that we need to take it serious. And I just think I just wanted to put it on the I talked about it in the church announcements, but I just wanted to go dive a little more deeper into, you know, social distancing. And I think that it's important. Over the weekend, I was like watching my stories and I'm seeing a lot of my friends going out to these parties. And I was even tempted to go out to a party. But with them, you know, quarantining people, with like the amount of schools in the Philadelphia area and nationwide have been closing down, all of the jobs that have been closing down, obviously it is something so serious. And so I was like watching the story of this lady who is in Italy, who is quarantined, and how they're saying that, like, you know, their first couple of cases were around February 21st. And then with it, with the virus being so contagious, you know, from the droplets, from our spit, our saliva, we touch our face, and that just how quickly, and that, you know, most people that have, you know, pretty strong immune systems, like, you know, we'll be able to get over it. But the people that are the elderly people over 65, people that are have, you know, compromised immune systems, like they might not be able to recover from it. And people can be symptomatic. People cannot have symptoms of it and still test positive. And I definitely think until we are able to get it under control, I think that it would behoove us as a society to really try to like social distancing as possible. If they are shutting down the liquor stores, if they are, you know, I believe just in like New Jersey, New York, and another state, they like banned gatherings of larger than 50 people because it's so easy to pass. And I'm just like trying to just pass on to my Purple Pants posse how important it is for us, I think, to take it serious. If you have to go to work, you got to go to work. But, you know, the other outside things that we don't have to do, like going to the bars, going to the movies, different things, I definitely think we should take a step back and really just try to, like, quarantine ourselves. And I know it's going to be hard, but listen, y'all better get the Uno game out, okay? Y'all better get that book that you didn't get. You better Netflix and shit. Like, you just, like, and what I'm saying is slow it down. And I've isolated myself since Friday. I haven't gone out. I've, like, you know, only run errands that I've had to. And I've really been trying to take heed to it because I really think that, you know, I have to lead by example and I have to practice what I preach. Is this situation scary? Yes. Does it scare me? No, because I know that we will get through it. However, it scares me for the people, the vulnerable population. You know me, my social worker kicks in. I think about the children. I think about the elderly people. I think about the sick people. Like, those are the people that it's really going to affect if we don't, as a society, take a step back until we are able to get it under control. And I know that Rob did a podcast with Dr. Mike, and I forget the other people, but it was really, really informative. They were able to answer a lot of questions. So if you guys have not checked that out, check that out. But I just wanted to put the social distancing out there because it's like, again, like a week ago, I was like, please, twerking at the club. But fast forward a week and we see the seriousness of it. And I'm like, you know what? Let me take a step back, because if we don't follow, like, or take some type of precautions, like, this could be something even more, like, and I don't even got time to think about that because my glass is always half full, but I do think it's important to take precautions. Wash your hands, get hand sanitizer, don't hog the toilet paper, you know, make sure that you guys have the essentials in your house. Like, I didn't go food shopping because I've got a freezer full of food that I never eat because I'm always eating out. And I'm like, you know what, child, I'm gonna use this self-quarantine, this social distance to boost up my working out and my dieting and getting myself on track and really, like, self-care, reflect. I got all of these masks, facial masks for Christmas. Baby, I'm doing a mask a day. I'm self-caring. I'm preserving myself. I'm preserving my sexy. So I just want to just spread a little love and just, like, you know, take it serious. Like, you know, if you see other people out there, your family and friends still going out there, just shoot them a text. Like, listen, guys, I, you know, it, this... It, we need to take it serious. And so I just wanted to put that on the Purple Pants menu because I'm going to just spread some awareness to my Purple Pants posse. Now, let's keep the menu moving with our Purple Pants premonition. And just like that, we are back with another Purple Pants premonitions. I'm so excited to have my friend, my mentor, Gangsta Gurry, back on the Purple Pants podcast. What's going on?
Nothing, boo. How are you? Happy, happy day.
Yes, I am excited. I am, you know, spiritually ready to be fed this good old premonition through these Reiki cards, through, you know, all that you do. I'm so excited. You know, we need it.
Listen, I was about to say, there's so much that's going on in the world, child. There's so much happening. There's people dying, Kim, like, for real. And it's crazy because we are having to find, like, our center, find our peace in the midst of everything going on. And I feel like every day is just like, well, what do I have in my tool belt, in my toolbox, to make sure that I'm feeling good to go, you know, feeling nice and grounded, so that way I can take on another day because there's so much shit happening.
Definitely with this coronavirus, with our administration, with these travel bans, with these bills, you know, it's a lot to take in.
It very much is. And it's just like right now, I feel like everybody is being called to really just like slow down and process. Like, what's the most important thing for you moving forward? Like, everybody is being told, sit down, take a moment, process. And I don't think that there's a, like, I feel like in certain aspects, people are just trying to run against the machine, essentially, and trying to do way too much, when it's just like, you know, the universe is literally saying, process everything that's going on around you right now. Figure out, where does your peace come from? Where does your peace of mind? How do you bring peace of mind into your everyday? And then what are the things that are taking you out of feeling that peace of mind regularly? And how can you kind of like take a step back and reassess right now?
Yes.
So I'm looking forward into this week. I was about to say, this week is very much like about figuring out who in our lives, what in our lives are really at the standard that is for us right now. Like, I want you to think about this. Like, have you been in situations recently where, like, you know, people are talking about all the things that are going on, and then you just feel like this dampening in your spirit? Have you been feeling that a lot lately?
Definitely. You know, you just don't know what to think. You don't know, is the world coming to an end? Like, you know, it's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a way to be realistic about all these things that are going on. And there's a way for us to also speak life into each other. And I think that that's something that needs to be kind of like at the cornerstone of all of our conversations, all of our beliefs, all of our friendships. I know that there are a lot of people that are starting to recognize people who are very glass half empty or glass half full. Which type of person are you, and what type of energy do you want to carry out throughout the rest of this month? So I'm going to be looking through the rest of the month of March. We are currently, I would say, almost out of Pisces season. So shout out to all my Pisces out there. Pisces season has been, right, not this sound, child. But Pisces season has been all about getting deeper into what our intuition is telling us. What feels appropriate? What does not feel appropriate? Who are we at our core, and what are the last things as far as our beliefs, as far as like the way that we carry ourselves, that we're letting go of? This is a very heavy time of processing and letting go of everything that is not in alignment with our, you know, our next bag, our next opportunity, our next state of growth. Aries season is going to be coming up at the very end of March. I want to say around like March 19th, if I'm not mistaken. And Aries season is all about that fire, baby. So it's all about taking action, doing things, like being excited, making things happen. And especially with all the stuff that's happening right now, you know, on a global level, people are going to start taking action. People are going to start doing things, cutting out energy that is not relevant to their next story, their next lifetime. So I want you to think about who has been, I want to say, like, who has been having great intention, but not having a lot of follow through when it comes to newness in your life, whether it's you, whether it's people around you. Like, have you been thinking about, all right, I want to leave this job, I want to leave this relationship, I want to leave this situation because I know that there's better, but there may be things that are holding you back. What are those things that are holding you back is the main question that I want you to think about going into the next couple of weeks. So I know that we all have situations that we are always trying to like manifest more, trying to focus on this straight path and narrow. The Knight of, I was going to say, in this deck specifically, it's called Onaiza Kane. So this deck is the Akamara Tarot. It's a Kickstarter that I got. It is relevant to all of the traditional, like, African religions, traditional, like, deities, traditional spiritualities. And it talks about arrogance, egoism, jealousy, and unused creativity in a lot of people's lives right now. So I don't know if you've been noticing that you have this desire to, like, start some new stuff. Like, you feel like you're at the, I don't know, for you personally, Bryce, have you been feeling like this desire to like really get out there, really start trying new things, feeling like a little like, okay, like this lifestyle that I'm in right now, I'm not liking it.
You speak it to my heart. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I think that what is everybody is being asked right now to do is figure out what is the next step. So Aries season is the beginning of like it's the Zodiac New Year. I can't remember the specific name for it, but it's just like the Zodiac starts again. Aries is the first sign in the Zodiac. So everybody is coming to like a close to make decisions on what's next. And sometimes that takes a little bit of spontaneity. The difference between spontaneity and impulsiveness. I feel like spontaneity is you knowing, okay, I have this going on, I have these tools, I have this money in the bank, and I have this amount of time, so I know I can make something shake. Impulsiveness is like not thinking through those decisions and not thinking through those steps. So you need to make sure that you are processing your conversations. You know, you can look before you leap, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, the people that are unreliable, people that are not holding their promises right now are being asked to be moved out of your life. It says this calls for significant changes that's heading your way, perhaps in the form of traveling or moving house, but it may come suddenly. It says unpredictability in a partner can be suggested by the arrival of this card in a spread as well. So this suggests spontaneity and a change of scenery. I know that there are so many people that are sitting around right now thinking, what am I doing? Where am I going? Like, and you're not the only person. But I want you to recognize that the only way that that can be shifted, the only way that that can be recognized and actualized is by going outside of yourself, finding like-minded people. Everybody is in a space right now as a collective where we do not know what is going on. But it is our job to speak up and connect with others and connect with like-minded souls so that way we can be able to move forward as a collective. I feel like this is where everybody is being brought back to this place of love and understanding that, like, if I see the love in you, you see the love in me, we can move forward and we can make some stuff shake. But there are always going to be forces that are around us that keep us from that guise and that mentality of love. So I feel like you need to ask yourself throughout the next couple of weeks, is this the space that I see myself being in when it comes to somebody appreciating me, what I bring to the table, and vice versa? Is this conversation balanced? Is this energy balanced? Does this make me happy? Does this bring me joy? And am I allowed to bring joy to other people? I know that's super heavy, but these are things that we should be thinking about. And sometimes we struggle to give ourselves time and space to do that.
Time and space, okay?
Listen, I was about to say, I know that it is, we have so many things going on. I know you busy, I'm busy, child. Things are moving. But we also have to recognize that if we don't sit down to process these things, we do not know where we are going next. And that is our job as we are growing up, as we are, you know, ascending in our careers, you know, building and growing our families. We have to know the direction that we are taking one another so that way we have a goal. What is your legacy? What are you leaving? And it's all about getting excited for what's to come and not being scared of it. Being faithful, not fearful. All right?
Right.
So, next I want to talk about the moon phases that are going to be coming up. So we have the waxing moon is talking about the energy is gaining momentum. So I don't know, you've been sitting on a project, haven't you? You've been sitting on something, haven't you?
You know, just a little, maybe couple of things, one, mm-hmm. two, or three.
Mm-hmm. So this is very much like you knowing that things are going to be coming forward. You just have to give it some time to allow this process to happen. And this is represented in the waxing moon. So a little bit more information on Miss Waxing Moon. She says the situation is full of potential. Your dream can come true. More effort is yet required. Are you willing to give it? Review your goals and ensure you're still committed and keep moving forward. So I've been talking a lot about this recently in regards to we all have plans. We all have ideas. And sometimes in our house, like if you think about it, some of the things that may be in your house, some of the things that may be in your environment, like are they representations of where you're going next? Or are they representations of where you thought you were going? And I need you to take some time to like clean up house. think about what it is that you actually do want to do and make sure that you have stuff around you that represents that. A lot of times we get so caught up in where other people have directed us to go or where other people have told us that we thought we were supposed to go. And we have physical representations of that in our homes. Like, you know, sometimes you have like those old pictures of the locations, you know, that you used to want to go to, or maybe like old relationships. You know, you got your old fling, like a picture sitting up in the house. And it's just like, no, like these things are not necessary for you to have because they're representing old energy that's not necessarily serving you. Go ahead.
What about energy that's like, you know, I know a lot of people will look to other people and be like, oh, that's where I want to be and I'm not where I'm at. I feel like that energy is like not good at all as well, too. Like, you need to focus on yourself and not what others are doing. Like, you can use others as inspiration, but not using others as like, why do they have it and I don't? Why are they there and I'm not? Like, you know, sometimes I get caught up in that and I need to really just center and like quarantine myself and be like, you know, you have to focus on what is in front of you and what that you can do to manifest something.
Amen. I call that imposter syndrome because it's like you are in a state of feeling like you deserve or you should be further along, right? Because you're seeing somebody else's journey, somebody else's level of awareness, what they're going through, and you truly don't always know what it took to get to that place. And your journey is sacred. Your journey is, you know, you're unique. That's why you are here on this, you know, planet to continue figuring out what it is as far as your own personal journey is concerned. And I think a lot of people, even myself included, have gotten caught up in seeing other people's growth and, you know, wanting that for myself, but then also having to, like, I have to slow down a lot of the times and say, like, they're going through this and they're dealing with this and you can use this person as inspiration, but you do not need to be jealous or envious of what it took for them to be where they are right now, because, you know, freedom, you know, joy is our birthright. So as long as I continue to work and function in the guise of joy and in the guise of, like, I know that when my time comes and as long as I continue on my path, all will be good. And I think that that's kind of like the unlearning that we are always constantly needing to bring into our lives, like reminding ourselves that, you know, what is for me and it will come in, you know, proper timing. But that takes a lot of affirmation and a lot of practice and a lot of really just hyping yourself up. I want you guys to look at I believe the full moon this month is going to be on the 23rd. I think that we just had another full moon on the 23rd last month, but this new moon, I apologize, is going to be in Aries. And the waxing cycle happens between the new moon to the full moon. So I want you guys to pay attention to the last week of April. The last week of March going into the first 2 weeks of April. And I want you to think about what energy are you putting out there to bring new things into your life. It talks about this card being a very positive omen, saying that there's a lot of work to be put in and you're not quite there yet. But where do you want to go? And do you believe you can get there? Let me say that one more time. Where do you want to go? And do you believe that you can get there?
Okay.
Either you can just keep meditating and focusing on your desired outcome, or you can make the courageous commitment to take more practical steps towards your goals. Whichever you decide, you are most certainly on the right track. So this is something I think that we've talked about before, but I want people to like process, like, what is your daily routine for yourself? Like, do you have a daily routine for yourself, Bryce?
I try. I have a couple of routines that I do, yes, but they, like, you know, I would say maybe two or three throughout the week.
Got you. I feel like these daily routines and the things that you use to kind of like hype your own personal energy up to really just like keep yourself grounded are going to come in handy right now. I know for myself, I'll wake up, I have like my little meditation, my little prayer. I'll read a couple like devotionals, you know, I'll like pull a card for myself, journal about it. And that is what I have to kind of like cornerstone my day. It's like, that's the energy that I fill up in my well in order to go throughout and, you know, deal with all the things that are happening in this world on a daily basis. And then I always know that I can come back to those artifacts. I can come back to those pieces of information to help ground myself if I feel out of alignment throughout the day. These things are going to be really important because you have to remind yourself where you're going and like, sometimes you're the only person that can do that. So how can you, you know, hold yourself accountable over the next couple of weeks? I know that you said you have like 3 days a week that you're always just like trying to make sure that you're doing something. It's just like, you know, maybe try to turn it to four. It's just like putting the little bit of effort somewhere is really what matters. And then it becomes second nature as you go along. So, getting into a little bit of advice, the groundhog spirit says it's time to let go, and then the dove spirit says it's time to be peace. So, ooh, this just goes into everything that I've been stating about just like letting go of the old, bringing in the new, and being peaceful. What does it mean to have peace? What does it mean to have joy? Like, and how do you bring joy into your life or allow others to assist you in facilitating that joy? I think that stability, what does it mean to have stability? What does it mean to have good friends in your life? I know that this is something we were discussing earlier, are some of the key questions to ask yourself. And it's just like, what do you need to fill your cup on a daily basis? And do people take from that cup or do people fill that cup? Now, I will say there's always going to be snakes in the grass, and there's always going to be, as they like to say, emotional vampires. Are you allowing yourself to be sucked dry by other people's shit? Is my question for you. So the oracle message says endings lead to beginnings and death is a part of life. So groundhog spirit's here to let you know it's time to accept the natural ending of something that's no longer serving you. We love to hold on to what's familiar, but the new needs space to arrive so growth can occur. When this appears, it's a sign there's something in your present situation you need to let go of so that something new can be born, something that will far better serve you now. So when this groundhog sees his shadow, he retreats to his den. So too might you yearn for a little more time to say goodbye and transition into the new. However, change is coming and it is good. So let go of your resistance. Can I say that one more time? Change is coming and it is good. So let go of your resistance. I think that this is more of like you have to talk yourself up about the good that is coming your way and the newness that is coming your way and allow it to come instead of being fearful of the change. So many people are running around in fear right now. Let's just, because y'all know I'm gonna name it. So many people are running around in fear right now instead of running around in faith and doing what is necessary in order to make sure you're doing your part. Make sure that you are, you know, washing your hands, taking care of those around you, showing love, like, you know, not being xenophobic. Things like that. It's like really making sure that you are doing your part to hold your line. And it's like, what is your baseline for how you show up? What is your baseline for how you spread love? It says, spring brings many blessings and what must die will always be reborn in a new form that will be right for you. Life requires change and detachment. Say farewell to whatever once served you. Get ready for something amazing to take its place. Spirit's already sending it your way. So if you feel like you got to let go of some people in order to make room for new, do so.
I hear you. My connection broke up. You said what?
I said if you feel like you have to let go of some friends in order to make room for new things, new opportunities, because it doesn't have to come in the form of a new friendship. It can come in the form of a new job opportunity. It can come in the form of a new career. Think about closing one door, you know, another door opens. But if you did not close that door, put the energy into closing that door, you'll never know what's on the other side. So, have you been reluctant in your efforts to revive something that's been paused, that's past its prime and needs to die away? A situation, relationship, belief, or a habit that served you once but no longer fills you with vitality. Woo, child. Perhaps you automatically expect to see the world through a specific lens based on the familiar. This has appeared to let you know it's time to accept the past is a past. So allow yourself to feel the loss and grieve it if you need to. Any sadness will not last forever or overwhelm you. Know that the spirit's with you and wants you to experience joy and excitement again. And this will help you through this transition from the old to the new. So keep your eyes open. For winter always gives way to spring and endings always give birth to beginnings. For now, let yourself feel your emotions, releasing them to make way for the joy that awaits you. Spring and new growth are on their way, for that is spirit's promise to you. So what you waiting for this spring, Bryce?
What am I waiting for?
What's coming your way? I was about to say, you got to let it go in order to experience the new. So what are we transitioning onto, baby boo?
We are transitioning onto new ventures, new projects that I've been like holding off on moving forward for. And yeah, like, you know, closing the door to people that don't serve me, to people that take random hiatus for no reasons when you're always the person to check in, you're always the person to look out, and to maybe be okay to say, you know what, maybe this should fizzle out, maybe we should take a break, maybe I need to focus on myself and you should focus on whatever that you choose to focus on in your household. It's like, you know, and I'm okay with that.
Amen to that. I feel the exact same way. It's all about because you know I'm in this space of like you know, small business ownership and just like knowing that there's certain aspects of it, you know, I have to kind of like let go of as far as like, you know, making time for myself. I tend to make a lot more time for others than I do myself. And it's just like, how do I prioritize? Like knowing that I should be first and that other people should understand that, you know, because of the human experience, we all got shit going on. So right. Let me do me, you gonna do you, we gonna be good. And okay. the dove spirit talks about how if you embrace peace, how if you embrace compassion, it can warm your heart. It's telling you every day is a good day to meditate, to quiet any turbulence within you as you embody tranquility. And I would like to say, just for everybody out there, meditation is not sitting going on in your house every day. Like, that is a great way to do it, but that's not how everybody meditates. Meditation is the art of being present. It's the art of being aware, looking at things around you and being conscious of what is happening. And sometimes that's just like you driving in the car, you know, having your good little song going on, your little playlist happening, and you just being able to see everything that's going on around you, taking a walk in the neighborhood and just letting your music blast or letting the music of the universe go. It says, above, below, and all around you, much may be happening to distract you, but you're called to engage it with the heart of a peacemaker, asking yourself, what would peace do? Can you agree to disagree? So however disturbed the waters around you, Dove Spirit's there to remind you, peace without begins within as you reconnect with spirit through practices that awaken you from spiritual amnesia. Your true nature is as a peaceful child, but how easily you forget. You're being invited to sit in the cozy, safe nest of spirit. Soon the waters will become still and you will feel peace again. Be compassionate with yourself at this time. For all of us can forget that peace is always at hand, always there, gifted to us by spirit. Become the peace you wish to see in the world so you can reduce any suffering, performing acts of kindness and radiating love. This also reminds you when you see an inequity or someone harmed in need or in need, trust that you have the capacity to bring peace through smiling, sending love, speaking a kind word, and listening with a compassionate heart. Do your part to be a peacemaker, nourishing compassion, reminding others of the joy of harmonious coexistence so that they may embrace the Dove Spirit within themselves too. So my reminder to people is like, don't gossip. Don't be a part of gossip. There's no need for you to be a shady lady. Like, that's something that I am being very aware of this month about, just like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about together? Like, and is this something that is diminishing somebody else? And it's like, why is that? Why do we have to give energy into that? How can we be peace? And how can we understand everybody got their own stuff going on? And I'm doing my part. You doing your part. We here together. And I feel like as we continue to like live in that, let go of old ways of being and just kind of like bring in the new creativity, bring in the new love, bring in new opportunities, everything is going to be fine. But it takes us reminding ourselves of that on a daily basis.
Yes, for sure. Okay, no shady ladies, all right?
Mm-hmm. But child, that's all I got for us going into the next couple of weeks. I think this is very much like everybody should be focused on themselves. I hate to be the bearer of like bad news, but it's some real shit. Like, everybody really needs to be focused on themselves and how they can be of peace and of assistance to others around them. Like, how do you breathe love into all your actions? And I feel like those are the things that are going to bring you the most grounding right now. And that's what's going to make sure that we're all moving forward feeling good.
Yes, I love it. Focus on myself, focus on what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Yes, so you guys heard it first, Purple Pants Posse, it's aight to focus on yourself and to let the negative or let the quarantine yourself. Okay, that's listen, what I'm saying.
Listen, and there's nothing wrong with that, because when you quarantine yourself and you give yourself that time, you teach others how to take care of themselves too.
Listen, I'm here for it. Well, thank you again, Gangsta Gurry. But before we go, where can the people find you if they need a personal reading or they want to just catch up on what you doing out over there?
Thank you for asking. If you are interested in following my content, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Gangsta Gurry, Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that ER busted shit over here. Gurry with two R's. You can book a reading with me, Reiki Healing, Candle Magic. I do candle magic. Help you release those blockages, girl. GangstaGurry.me.
Yes, thank you. And this will conclude this week's episode of Purple Pants Premonitions.
Thanks.
All right, keeping the show rolling. We on to my favorite part. It's the Purple Pants Picks. You pick, I say. It's the Purple Pants Picks. Kazoo, it's that way. All right, so starting the Purple Pants Picks off, for those of you who are new to the podcast and some of those who need a refresher, every Friday or Saturday, I will post to my Instagram story at the Purple Pants Podcast or Bryce Isaiah, BRICEIZYAH. I'll post a photo of some purple pants and I'll say, drop some topics and you guys can pick some. Pop culture, TV shows, anything you want the tea on that you need your baby boy's take on, and I got you covered. So this week, let's get it popping. I've started off with AH Romano 17 writes, favorite skin products. Ooh, now baby boy is all about a nice skin regimen and routine. So I love all of the clean and clear products. I love them all. However, sometimes they be a little expensive. So I am a Target shopper. So Target makes Up and Up products and they like make exactly the same products, but I love a clean and clear exfoliating little apricot or the Up and Up one. And I love the Morning Burst. Oh, I love to use that as well. What else do I use? My mom, since I was a young child, Queen Helene, they have a mint julep mask. So I will. Now, I use alcohol on my skin. Like, I'll get a cotton rub and I'll do alcohol on my skin. I have very oily skin, so the alcohol is not abrasive to my skin. But, you know, each and everyone is different. But I always use an astringent, get the dirt off my face, and then I'll do a mask, you know, tighten up them pores. And also, I've been obsessed with the Yes to Tomatoes mask that you can get from, like, Target. They be, like, a dollar. I buy, like, all of them. And so, actually, the one I'm going to use today is the, which one is this? This one is the Bubbly Paper Mask. So, ooh, it's going to bubble on my skin. Ooh, okay. I can't wait to use that. But yes, so I love to use those AH Romano. So who we else got next on this Purple Pants pick? We've got D_Drobe writes, hey Bryce, we all know New York is the best Real Housewives. No shade, just facts. I would have to agree. New York is definitely one of my tops. So I would say the housewife franchises that I watch religiously are Housewives of Atlanta, even though I fell off Atlanta a little bit, Housewives of Potomac, and Housewives of New York. I'm excited because New York is getting ready to come out. We know Bethany's not on the season, so I'm curious and excited. They got a new housewife. I'm hoping that they can bring the heat and the smoke, like what you looking for. But I definitely love me some Luann. I definitely love my girl Sonia. Definitely love my girl Dorinda. Tinsley is like, I love to hate her. And then Ramona is just, she just on turtle time. Okay. What else do we have? So I got a Purple Pants Picks from T. Combs 23. She wrote, what are some fun things to do during the quarantine? And I got a couple similar ones. And another one was from my girl, L. Weigler, best ways to spend time while social distancing. So I talked about this a little before in the menu, but listen, I'm call me crazy. Sometimes on a Friday night, listen, I'll give me a little Tito's, get a little tipsy, and I'll clean my house. So there's always spring cleaning. There's always that project that we've been like putting to the back, like, oh, that, you know, you could work on. There are, listen, do a little pedicure, do a little, you know, do some fun things. You can do facial masks. You can binge watch all of the shows that I've been telling you guys to watch. There's movie times. And how about here's something like, you know, you can actually spend time with your family. Do some family activities. Pull that Uno game out. Pull that Twister out. Pull Monopoly out. Let me tell you, I had to like take a break from Monopoly because I used to play Monopoly with Sarah, the one and only Sarah, and E. Barrios. And E. Barrios would get so into it that it would be annoying. But there's so many fun things that you guys can do. There's so many books that you can read. Listen, just because you're quarantining your house, you can still go outside. Like, you know, you can garden. You can, like, you know, you just want to be your distance from other people. So there's just a lot of different things that you can do. Think outside the box. So don't just be like, oh my God, I'm so bored. Like, mm-mm. We ain't into all of that. There's there's about 30 Purple Pants podcasts that you can get up on. There's a whole bunch of like different things that we've always been just so busy that we have not been able to get into. So I think there is, the amount of things that you can do is endless. Then I had another one that was kind of sort of similar to this one. EXO Jill Zanin says, also how to keep She writes, how to keep up with my anxiety during the corona scare. So I definitely think this is a tough time. We all are scared, but I don't think that you just have to take one day at a time. That's the only thing that we can do. We can only live in the moment that we are. And I think if you take the necessary precautions, you know, you're washing your hands, you're keeping your distance, and you just got to live life, because at the end of the day, there's always going to be something that we're going to be scared of. There's always going to be something that we need to take precautions of, but it's how we react in those moments. So XO, Jill Zanin, girl, you'll be fine. Just breathe. Take it, slow it on down. Do what you need to do and have time for yourself. That's what's most important. Have time for yourself to decompress. Have a great support system, friends that you can lean on during this time. And you got me, boo, so we good. We ain't going to worry about nothing like that. I got a great one from Silly J-Ho. How do you fight loneliness? How do I get out of this funk? Girl, listen. Me and you are in the same boat. I live by myself. I'm single. And so sometimes at night, night times can be a hard thing. Sometimes before I go to sleep, I'm like, child, where my man at? Well, I'm in this bed by myself. But it is a choice. And that is the thing that I am learning and that I know is that it's a choice. And like, you know, sometimes we can be lonely, but we don't have to go through the motions of it. And of course, like, yeah, it's healthy for us to want a partner, want companionship, but sometimes that's just not what life is. And sometimes we have to lean into other things that life is giving us. Lean into our work, lean into our friends, lean into other things that provide us happiness. And when we stop thinking about things, then a lot of the time the universe will give us what we want. Another thing for me though, a lot of times when I go to sleep at night, I'm like, oh, I'm lonely. I wish I had somebody to cuddle with. So what I've been trying to do is I normally do like morning workouts. I've been trying to do my workouts for at night. So I'll do like, you know, a 30, 45 minute workout at night. So by the time it's for me to get into bed, baby boy ain't got time to be lonely. I'm jumping in that bed. Well, jumping in the shower. Then I'm jumping in that bed and I'm asleep. But I definitely think you got to utilize your natural supports that you have around you and have a friend and talk about it. But it is a difference in letting the loneliness captivate you. I'm making that word up, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. But to captivate you, or it is okay to say, you know what, I wish I had someone, and maybe what are we, can we do about it? Like, you know, are you dating? Are you talking to other people? There's definitely ways that you can go about that. So I hope that helped, boo. What we got next? Philtastic. I love Philtastics. Philtastic One wrote, people hoarding toilet paper during a virus outbreak. It's not like a hurricane is coming. Baby, Phil, I already talked about this, but yes, why is y'all buying this toilet paper? What are y'all doing? Another thing that I would say is in the state of Pennsylvania, like, we have PECO and PGW as our water provider, and they have said that during this outbreak time, they will not be cutting off anybody's water, anybody's electric, so we don't have to worry about that. And so, worst case scenario, y'all, if y'all run out of toilet paper, you can get in the shower, you can get a little wash rag, and you can wash your booty. You will be fine. Trust me, I was on Survivor. You know, it ain't no toilet paper out there. So, I understand the mass hysteria, but literally, it's no need. Listen, one thing about us, we are people that know how to improvise. And when times get hard, improvisation, that's not a word either, but improvising is one thing that we're good at. We will be fine. So stop hoarding the toilet paper. And baby, the question that I got about 1,000 times. Okay. Oh, then I got another one. I got one from Box Boy Mugga. That's actually my little cousin named Kevin. He says, he writes, handicapped relationships. So, little backstory, my cousin Kevin is paralyzed. He actually was shot about 4 times, maybe about 6 years ago. And so he's actually in a wheelchair. Now, Kevin's one of the coolest people that I know. And so obviously he's writing about handicapped relationships. I think that handicapped relationships are great. And I think people need to be more open to relationships. Just because you're in a wheelchair, just because you might like not have a limb, that doesn't stop you from being a whole person with feelings and love and being able to give yourself to other people. And I think more people need to be open to that. Sometimes, like I had talked about it before, sometimes we have this envision of our Prince Charming or our princesses to look a certain type of way, when really we've got people in our lives that could be that, but we are too vain or we are too self-centered to actually see that. I actually am totally here for that. I actually, when I was in college, I stayed telling y'all all my tea. Hold on, wait, let me wet the whistle. Let me get my emergency on. when I was in school, I actually, it was my sophomore year at Temple. I had a class with this young fellow, and he was like legally blind. He could see objects, but he could not see. Like he read Braille. He had a walking stick. And we had a project together, something. I didn't even know he was gay. We had a project together, and we worked together, and we like talked on the phone often. And I never forget that I got an email from him, and I was always so curious, like, how he write this email? But that was just me being so ignorant to the modern day technologies. And they wrote me this really nice email just saying that they were so excited to get me as a partner because they were worried that someone else in the class, and that they just loved my spirit and my energy, and that he, you know, was interested in like maybe going out on a date. I was like, what in the world? And so we went on a couple of dates. However, they weren't from this area. And then after that semester, they didn't come back to Temple, but we still keep in contact to this day. And so I always would say that I'm open to it. Like, you know, I'm open to love. Anybody that could text me back or call or show me attention, I'm here for it. So I'm here for handicapped relationships. I actually don't even like the term handicapped relationships. I like relationships, period. It doesn't matter what the disability, it doesn't matter. We all come with our own different flaws. So that was a good one. And then, I got this question about a third, 100 times. Michelle and Wendell, the T on Wendell. What's up with Wendell and Michelle? We need to know what's going on with Love Island. So I don't know what y'all want me to tell you. I think that it's very evident. I think that, you know, even on Twitter, Wendell has said that he did date Michelle. I think that a lot of times people get confused being in a relationship and dating. Okay, it's a whole different ball game. You can date someone, you could be in a relationship with someone. Obviously, you know, Wendell and Michelle, they might need to figure out what they, you know, their, what word I want to say, they might want to get on the same page. But obviously, you know, they kicked it. What you want? They kicked it. I wasn't there. Baby boy minds my business. They kicked it. Well, let's stay tuned to X on the Beach this Wednesday and see what's popping. But that's going to conclude this week's Purple Pants Picks. I have a really good advice with Bryce, so let's move on into that. Hi, Bryce. I finally fully realized and accepted that I am bisexual. A few years ago, and after a few months of being more comfortable with it, I came out with friends. I told my parents. They didn't get it, asking questions like, so are you gay? Is it just a phase? But are you going to end up with a girl, right? They understand it better now, but it's something they rather not talk about. If I mention dating, they default to female pronouns, and when I redirect them to he or they change the subject and questions to seriousness of the attraction and the quality of the person. They are good friends with a gay couple and support others with kids in same-sex marriages, but I guess it's different when it comes to actually their own son. Their relationship with me is still just as loving and supporting in other areas, but it feels dismissive regarding this part of my life. Is there anything I can do to get them to acknowledge that this is a part of who I am? Great question. I think that, unfortunately, a lot of the times, and I see this a lot, I see a lot of people that are allies for the LGBTQ plus community. They want to rally for us. But when it comes to their own children, they have a hard time accepting it. And that's unfortunate. However, I'm glad that you were able to be open and honest enough with yourself. So congratulations for that, because it takes people a lot of time and a lot of energy to do that. So congratulations on that. And congratulations to be able to be open to who you are, to your friends and family. So this is what I would say, and this is like something that I always live by, is that I am very comfortable with who I am. And I don't try to push it on anybody else. I feel that sometimes when we push or we want acceptance from others, it's like that we aren't actually okay with it with ourselves. I find that when you are at peace with who you are, you don't need acceptance from anyone else. from your parents and from, like, you know, a lot of the times our parents are from a generation that it is difficult for them to accept that in their own children. And I think that it's not a reflection of their love on you. It's just a reflection of the error that they were brought up in. And it doesn't make it any easier on you or your feelings. But I think that if you continue to live in your truth and continue to be who you are and continue to redirect them when you bring up dating, to like, well, I might date a male, I might date a female, I don't know. I think that if the more that you do that, the more they will learn that they need to be more respectful. However, I always go with the side of you got to be okay with if they never accept it, because ultimately it's about you and your life and who you choose to love. And I know a lot of the times people are like, can people really be bisexual? And like, they can. And I've always said that, again, sexuality, in my opinion, is something that is fluid. It's not just like black and white. It's not just gay, straight. It's not any of that. It's fluid. And there's fluidity. And there's, like, you know, there's attraction. And just like I was just talking on my Purple Pants pics, like, love is love. Relationship is relationship. You can connect with somebody and it be okay. And I think the more and more that you are okay with it, and just kind of reading the email, I question whether or not you are 100% okay with it. And obviously that comes with time and comes with more support. But I would just say continue to surround yourself with your friends that support you and really lean into that, because your family may never accept you and that's okay. But it does not mean that they don't love you any less. It just means that that's a flaw of theirs. And it's hard for them to accept it. However, we've got to continue to move the needle forward, and we have to continue to live our life, and you have to be happy with who or whatever that you decide that you end up with. And, you know, hopefully when you bring them around your family, they'll be respectful to it. But you ultimately have to make that decision that you are going to live your best life for yourself. And so I don't know your family, so it's hard for me to tell you things that, like, that you can do. The only thing that I can tell you is to continue to live in your truth. It seems that you've come a long way, and that is, like, to be commended, and continue to move forward, continue to have that conversation. But I would just say, don't expect for them to maybe change their opinion. And I think that when you have that understanding that maybe they won't, you'll continue to live who you are. And the more that you are, like, undivided 100% who you are, the more they may come around, the more they may say, like, you know what, this is my son, I'm going to love him, I'm going to accept him. And that's the only thing that I can say, is continue to truly live in your life, continue to truly be who you are and to explore. And it's okay, and I am giving you 100% permission. It's okay, it's life. You got to live your best life, because guess what, at the end of the day, we only get one. So I hope that helps, baby boy. Please email me. And yes, I know who this is. And so the next time I see you in person, I would love to kind of chat with you more. But thank you again for sending in that Purple Pants pics. And anyone that has, not Purple Pants pics, advice with Bryce, anyone that needs advice with Bryce, please feel free. Doesn't matter how short, how long, how silly it sounds, I am here to help. And so you can email me at the purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. And baby boy, or baby girl, I gotcha. Now, with this week, with a lot of the craziness going on, a lot of the uncertainties with this quarantining, this coronavirus, everything that's going on, I reached out to Mother Barb. I said, Barb, we might need a Barb's message this week. So, you know, it's not on our regularly scheduled agenda, but listen, we got it for you. Without further ado, here is Barb's message.
Hi. This is Miss Barb, and I'm here once again to share with you a few words of encouragement. You never really know the true impact you have on those around you. You never know how much someone needed that smile you gave them. You never know how much your kindness turned someone's entire life around. You never know how much someone needed that long hug or deep talk. So don't wait to be kind. Don't wait for someone else to be kind first. Don't wait for better circumstances or for someone to change. Just be kind, because you never know how much someone needs it. Love you.
Yes. And whoever needed that Barb's message, that message was for you. Thanks again, Mommy. Loved it. Now, moving on to the freak of the week. Baby, so I was minding my business like I always do, and I was scrolling through the Instagram last week, and I got an email. You know, our girl Eliza from Survivor, from Amazing Race, you know, Eliza Orleans, she is running for Manhattan District Attorney. And I'm so proud of Eliza. She the freak of the week for going ahead and following her dreams. Now, Eliza is a very polarizing, you know, person. You either love or hate her. I am one of the ones that loves Eliza. And the one thing that I love Eliza is that she stands in her truth. What she believes in, that's what she goes hard for. And we need more people like that. And so I'm just so proud to be Eliza's friend. And we can't leave this podcast without letting the people know our girl Eliza is running for district attorney of Manhattan. So I am just so excited, and I just wish nothing but the best. So listen, if you guys can go to Eliza's Instagram at eorlins, eorlins, and show baby girl some love as she is taking on the justice system. And you know, Eliza don't play. Eliza, listen, they better watch out for Eliza in that courtroom because she don't play. But congratulations, Eliza. And that is going to conclude this week's Purple Pants podcast. Thank you guys so much for riding it out with me this week. I look forward to next week. Please stay safe, guys. Wash your hands. Keep your distance, okay? Do your facial mask. Do what you need to do. Binge watch. FaceTime your friends, because that's what I've been doing this quarantine and chilling. But yes, stay safe. You know where to find me, because you already know.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.